So for me, this is very personal. This is not theoretical. For you, I want to assure you, it is real. And to clarify, after I came off the insulin, I went back to the doctor. He checked me out for his own. As Jesus said, go to the priest, let him know that you're healed. I went back to the doctor, and he tested me and said, yep, your blood looks good. Yep. Okay. But you have to hear God for yourself. Amen? You can't hear God from what I said. You have to check with God for yourself for your illness. And I still check my sugar once in a while. All right, it's good. So what I'm saying is, at my old denomination that said it was just spiritual, no, it is literally real. It is literally true. Oh, one more thing happened to me last year. It was an interesting year. I got an eye infection, red eye in the left eye. I went to the doctor, got medication, didn't help. It spread to the other eye. Went to another doctor, medication, didn't help. So you know what I did? Praise the Lord. Every morning I'd get up, lift my arms up, praise the Lord for an hour. After a few more days, clear it up. So it isn't that I hate doctors. I listen to their advice, and then I check with the Lord. In each case, what the doctor gave me didn't work. What the Lord showed me, that worked. It may be different in your case. In some cases, it may be a combination of both. I'm not saying either or. It's check with the Lord. And believe this to be true. So I had three major things last year. The Lord just healed me of them and cured me. Based upon my belief and holding on to the scripture. That's one of the other reasons why our salvation is so great. Amen? Next slide. And this, again, just proves that it is true. Because he drove out the spirits with the word and healed the sick. To fulfill what was spoken to the prophet Isaiah, he took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. So that answers the claim that it's spiritual. That's clearly physical diseases. Amen? Next slide. And this is the, which is used to beat Jesus in the movie there. Next slide. Another thing I want to discuss is the work for Christ is the work that Christ has for us now. What's Jesus doing now for us in heaven? He's our high priest. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. Hebrews 7, verses 23 to 25. Now there have been many of these priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Amen? So that's what part of what Jesus is doing right now. It's not the whole thing. That's part of it. Next slide. And this is another one you may not have considered. Jesus is our worship leader. Oh, by the way, worship team, I really appreciated the worship today. The presence of the Lord was so powerful, so strong. It was so amazing. Thank you. But another thing that the Lord Jesus does for us, he is our worship leader in heaven. You may not have thought of that. And by this, I do not mean he's leading a heavenly choir. Worship, what we tend to call worship, is really praise. By worship, I mean something else. Let's see what it says first about Jesus. Hebrews 8, verses 1 to 2. The main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister, liturgos, from which the word comes liturgy, meaning the way we have service rendered, in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. All of our worship to the Father comes through Jesus. Jesus says, no man or woman comes to the Father except through me. And in America, my people have some strange ideas. We found some Christians who believe in grace. And they say, actually, we don't need to go through Jesus. We have our own relationship with the Father. No. 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 I hope you don't get any of these silly ideas from America. We have so many silly ideas. I'm so embarrassed of my country. So embarrassed. I run to pray and fast for America. We're in deep trouble. We need your prayers. The latest thing is that this four-year-old kid thinks he's a girl, and his mother and dad are encouraging him in this foolishness. 4 years old! That's my country. Pray for us. Amen? So Jesus is our worship leader. He leads us in our worship. Everything we do to the Father comes only through our relationship to Jesus. Amen? Next slide. So what's our worship? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. This is your true and proper worship. So true worship is your day-to-day obedience and walking with the Lord. When you sing a song to the Lord, that's praise, and that's part of your life with the Lord as well. But true worship is a life of daily obedience. So just run to church on Sunday and praising, that's not a life of worship. A life of worship is every day being led of the Spirit. And the Spirit will lead you into doing the things that glorify the Lord. Amen? Including praising. That's why the Lord told me, just praise me. So I gathered everyone and just praised the Lord for a couple of hours till I was healed. That's praise. But as I obeyed Him in all I did the rest of the day, that was worship. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your true and proper worship. Amen? Next slide. Final point. 4. The work of Christ in us. He's also working in us, day by day, by the Holy Spirit, through the Word, and through the church. First of all, let's look at what He's doing through the Holy Spirit in us, day by day, each and every one of us here. It says, God, in Philippians 2:13, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. What else can God do to make it? That's why our salvation is so great. He redeems us from sin by giving us His grace. He gives us His Holy Spirit to guide and direct us each and every day. If you say, I'm too lazy, I don't have the desire, here's the answer. Be honest. I've done that. Lord, I'm really feeling lazy today. Help me to pray. And He does. Sometimes I pray and I'm falling asleep. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm feeling so sleepy. Help me. And He does. And if I do fall asleep, I don't feel condemned. Amen? So be honest before the Lord. If you have an issue, say, Lord, I'm really having a problem with such and such. He gives you the desire. If you don't have desire, say, Lord, I know I should pray every day, but Lord, I really have no desire. Ask Him for the desire. Amen? If you don't have the power, say, Lord, I have the desire, but my spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak, I fall asleep. Say, Lord, help me to stay awake. And He will. What more can the Lord do? Pull you out of bed by your hands? He did that to me once. Not quite. One morning, the Lord has me, part of my call before the Lord is to intercede on a regular basis. So I got up early to pray. And one morning I was laying in bed. It was about 3 o'clock or so, which is about my getting up time. And I sensed a presence next to me. And I was kind of scared. I said, Lord, is this one of yours? He said, yes, get up. Okay. But that's rare. Normally I just get up and go. But once in a while, they wake me up. But normally that is not the case. Amen? Well, my point is this. Ask the Lord to give you the power and give you the desire to do what pleases Him. Quote the scripture back to Him when you pray. Say, Lord, I'm lazy. Give me some motivation to get up and study your word because I know I need it. Give me the desire, Lord. I confess, I don't have it. Be honest. You think the Lord doesn't know? He knows. So being honest gives you credit. Yeah, my son is being honest with me. Now we can talk. Don't pretend. Be honest. Second, notice 1 Peter 1, verse 2. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. How? As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into you. His presence in you sanctifies you, makes you holy. So you are now all holy people. You are now all saints. I know when we share that with our church in America, I think they were kind of shocked. Because we're trying to introduce them to grace and to really moving forward. And we said, you're saints. And one lady actually challenged me, no, I'm a sinner. So, it took us, how many months, sweetie? About 6 months at least, teaching about who we are in Christ. Before finally, and I say, are you a saint? And then she said, yes, I'm a saint. You need to know who you are in Christ. We are saints, holy children of God. It doesn't mean everything you do is perfect. But that's who you declare to be. And by God's grace, day by day, your behavior is being aligned more and more to who you are truly called to be. Amen? Next slide. Then there's the work of Christ in us by the word of God. Christ might sanctify her, having cleansed her, the church, by the washing of water with the word. You know, in John 13, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, Peter said, Lord, you won't wash my feet. And then Jesus said, in that case, you have no part with me. And then Jesus said, Peter said, in that case, Lord, don't just wash my feet, wash my head, wash every part of me. And Jesus says, those of you who've had a bath are already clean. And all you need to do is wash your feet. He's speaking about the fact that as we go through life as Christians, we're holy in His sight. But we stumble, we make mistakes, we sin, dust comes in our feet. Do you have to be rebaptized? No. You need to confess. Father, I have missed it. Help me. And you need to study the Word of God to be strengthened. You're washed by the water of the Word. That's what Jesus is talking about. We've all been baptized. We've all been bathed in Christ. So as we stumble from day to day, we get dust in our feet. We confess to our Father, Lord, I've missed it. Help me. We study the Word and we're cleansed. Our feet are washed. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's another reason why salvation is so amazing. All that God does for us day after day to help us, to grow us, to move us forward. He gives us the motivation. He gives us the desire. And what I find really amazing, after all of this, at judgment time, He blesses us with positions in heaven for doing what He helped us to do. Isn't He good? Isn't God good? Amen? He gives us the power. He gives us the desire. He helps us when we fall. He encourages us. And then He plans to reward us with different positions in heaven based upon how we have obeyed what He has helped us to do. He's a good God, isn't He?